Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's jump into it. Who brought your Bibles? Raise your Bible up. Let me see all the Bibles. I want to make sure we got the Word of God. It's the very thing. Raise your Bibles if you hadn't already. I want to see all the Bibles. I think it's important. See? Look at all the Bibles on the right side, left. Oh, wait. Oh. People are like, don't you dare. I've got mine. And yeah. Jane's like, I've got mine. I didn't do that to offend, of course. I want you to, pardon me? Yeah, I know. Quiet on the front row, please. She said, who's left you talking about? My left, obviously. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, I begin to deal with a subject that is very important in these last days. As if you ever travel, see, what you don't want to do is get into this bubble. It's so tempting to get into a bubble in the Christian life because it's so good. It's a great place to be. There's lots of agreement. You know, you're protected, etc. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying get on the fence and live in the world, you know, because we're going to live in it, but we're just, don't get into that place where you start living of the world, okay? But what I mean by being in a bubble is a lot of times when you don't travel out there in the field and see a lot of things, then usually you just don't know about them a lot. But what I'm seeing traveling, not just being in this church corporate group, I'm seeing a lot of bad happening. Marriages, wow, attacked like, and I'm not saying they're not attacked in the church because they really are. The devil is no respecter of persons. He doesn't show favoritism. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, if they're not serving God, you know, then the devil doesn't mess with them. And that's a lie. Because the devil's going to mess with you no matter what. We still operate in seed time and harvest. So you sow a bad seed, you're going to reap a bad harvest. So we learn here at church, and I hope that they're preaching it at every church in America, that we're going to go through some trials and tribulations, the key word going through. Say through, because we're not supposed to stay in the middle of a trial or a tribulation. We're not supposed to camp out in it. We're supposed to get through it. And how you handle things is how you get through it. You get mad and angry and upset over different things, then it's going to take you a lot longer to get through the trial and the tribulation. And God, again, wants you to get on through the thing. And so, if you operate in joy, the joy of the Lord that gives you strength, then you'll get through a trial and tribulation because all you're telling the devil is that you're not going to lose it because he's trying to attack you and steal, kill, and destroy. No, no, no. Matter of fact, no fiery dart shall even penetrate you if you're leaving in God's kingdom ways. Now, the darts will come, and you can let them penetrate you, or you can stay hooked in the Word of God. Okay? So look in 2 Timothy here, chapter 4, just as a basis of today's message, verse 2 says what? Preach the Word. In the Amplified, it says herald it, which is just out loud, preach the Word. Be instant in season. That means just be ready. Keep your sense of urgency in the Amplified. Stand by and be at hand and be ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable. I mean, in other words, you don't have to wait for the perfect time sometimes to preach the Word. How you live is preaching the Word a lot of times. But, you need to have that spoken word come out of your mouth because that's where the power is. I do not like, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't like being at a rodeo or some sporting event or anywhere where they do a moment of silence. I know the heart behind it probably was right at the beginning, but a moment of silence does nothing. But the spoken word, that prayer, when you end it in Jesus' name, who has the name above all names, when you speak the word, when you preach it, when you herald the word, when you confess that word, that's where the power is. You don't want to just think, oh, Jesus, help me. No, no, no. You want to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority. Okay. So it's telling us to be instant in season, out of season, reproof. This is the King James. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then it talks about the times, the time will come where when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, turn their ears away, you know. And it's happening today, sadly. When I'm out there in the fields during this summertime, when most of you know I'm gone a lot, that's what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with, you know, even Christians just kind of walking away from the faith, living of the world, and then wondering why they're going through all kinds of issues. And so today, let's deal with just some other things. Last week, Rusty told me he began to teach about being the salt, you know, of the world, you know, because, I mean, they're going to be looking at you, and you don't want to give them a bitter taste, right? I mean, you need to give them the Word of God that is truth and makes them free. We need to know what to do when all hell breaks loose in someone's life. When a doctor says you only have 6 months to live because of a cancer. Or when your marriage is falling apart, or relationships, or financial issues. Or when you're in fear and doubt and unbelief about something that's going on in your life. Last a couple of weeks ago when I was here, I dealt with just having this uneasiness in my spirit that people were in. I mean, that way of just the worry about different things. And we dealt with that spirit. And I pray that the ones that were just antsy, I'll use that word, antsy about different things and anxiety and whatever got freed a couple of weeks ago, and you're not living that way. You're living in the peace of God that passes understanding. Let things roll over your head, you know, and not take them as offense, etc. Well, today, with just the subject of preaching the word, being instant in season, being ready for any kind of attack, the word of God is the only thing that's going to save us. Say amen to that. Well, let's deal with something that all of us believers have or should have, and it's called dominion. Oh, glory. You should have shouted. I mean, that would make an Episcopalian shout if you truly understood the word dominion. Dominion. So let's read about it. Let's go in our Bibles to... Oh, where should we go, sir? Go over to Psalms chapter 8 first. Psalms chapter 8. Verse 6 says this, and you're just going to have to go fast because I've got so much that I might not be able to finish it today. We'll finish it next time. Psalms chapter 8, verse 6. Thou made him to have dominion. Say that word dominion with me, please. Dominion. To have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So God's literally saying that we have dominion over things. God's given us dominion. Now, we can go all the way back to the first parts of Genesis where God created us in his likeness, in his, the word says, image. And then it goes on to say that God gave us dominion, and it talks about what dominion you and I have as a believer. And over what? Well, the cattle, over everything that creeps on this earth. I mean, you and I have dominion. So when you're being attacked in some way, when things are happening where you need to preach the word, you need to understand when you preach the word that you as a believer in Jesus Christ, full of confidence, hopefully, have and understand dominion. Because you as a believer have dominion, you just need to figure out what it means. So we're going to try to study about what does dominion mean. Because God, y'all, especially since Psalms 8 and 6 says that we have dominion over the works of our hands and that He's put all things under our feet, especially if they've come to steal, kill, and destroy, then God has put us in control. Now, before I go anywhere else, I need us to go look at something just real fast that's found in Ephesians chapter 1. So flip over there just real fast to the epistles of the New Testament and find Ephesians real fast. When you get there, begin to say amen. Ephesians chapter 1, okay? Anybody still looking? Ephesians chapter 1. This is why I want you to always bring your word. All three of the other ministers that really minister here in a rotation way when I'm gone. I mean, we all want you to get used to bringing that word. Because again, what are we talking about here lately? In order to overcome the things of this life, to not get beat up over our government turning away from God, not getting beat up over some things that are confusing even the body of Christ, you're going to need the Word of God to withstand and do all you can do to withstand. And just keep standing, praise God. We're going to need the Word of God, so that's why I want you to always bring your Word. Because that's your life-saving manual. It's going to be the thing you're going to need in these days more than any other thing. Unless you want to perish before it's time. And God doesn't want you to leave this earth before it's time. Even if you've got the helmet of salvation on, we've got to get the rest of our bodies covered up and protected. That's why my daughter is going on a little trip. She said, I'm getting on my second plane. You know what I said? Plead the blood. She's a 20-year-old college student, and I said, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Because I want her to always have in her mind that everything she does is preaching the Word of God. Amen. How she lives, her reputation, her attitudes, her rodeoing, everything she does, I want her to have that knowledge of God is with you, but being with you, He's not necessarily in control of everything you do. Now check this out. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll explain what I just said. Because He's in control, but He gave us the control. Check this out. Ephesians chapter 1, read with me verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed... Say it out loud. Are you reading or not? Let me read it again, class. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Underline that word if you have a pen, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us. Hope you're getting this. Us, not someone else, not Billy Graham, not some preacher, no, all of us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Go down to verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure. Turn the page to chapter 2 and look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Man, there's something about us. Verse 6. Who hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that God put us, believers in Jesus Christ, saved people? Say, that's me. I mean, just look at your neighbor and say, hey, that's me, I'm saved. The saved people is talking about us, you see. God put us in charge, gave us dominion, and put all things under our feet. We, if you would just accept it today, have dominion. He doesn't intervene, I wrote down, in the affairs of earth whenever he wants, y'all. He doesn't. If he did, we would not need faith. If he always intervened and he was always in control and in charge, we would never need to live by faith. We wouldn't even need the Son Jesus. It's you and I, y'all, are supposed to carry the Word of God through faith. No, he respects the dominion and the authority that he gave us. So what does dominion mean? It means operating in God's anointing. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." There's something about anointing, y'all. And every single believer are anointed. Dominion then, when you start understanding this, is a gift that takes supernatural anointing. It belongs to us, in other words. It doesn't belong to someone who's more spiritual than us. No, it belongs to all believers. You just got to start learning how to tap into it and operate in it and walk in it. And it's all done by faith. In other words, what are we talking about this morning real fast? We're talking about God's dominion that we have as believers, and we get it through anointing. I looked up the word anoint, and it literally means to pour on, to pour out on, to put on, to smear on. I mean, we anoint with oil. It represents the pouring on of the Spirit of God, you see. It's going to take the anointing for you to walk in God's dominion. And I'm here to tell you, if you would stop listening to the stinking fallen angel called the devil and start understanding who you are in Christ, yeah, maybe you have done some bad things in your past. And I don't even care if it was this morning. It's in your past. And when you confess the sin, do you realize how good your God is? He forgets it. I always say it like this, you know, being in college, the party was at my house. I was a fun guy, okay? I just was. And they came to my house, and they would party. But there was a day, 2 years, I was raised in the ministry. I've been in the cowboy world in 1984, when my family did a service with Glenn Smith, the pioneer of the cowboy movement in the 70s. Took me under his wing. But that's kind of when we started. I was 13. Well, then getting into college, through whatever, I walked away from the Lord. He didn't walk away from me. 2 years. And the party was at my house. But one day after those 2 years, I got on my knees. Well, I didn't even actually get on my knees. I was in my bed. It was late at night. And you know, the devil was condemning. I was guilty. I mean, I felt it. But God, on the other hand, was just, he was convicting. And I'll never forget, I had done through those 2 years, thinking that I was hiding it from the Lord, going to, you know, doing bad things on Saturday night, and then someone had asked me to come do music and sing for a church service at maybe a college rodeo, let's say. I just felt the condemnation of the devil. Wow, you hypocrite. You know, and all those things that the devil does to us all. Until that one day when I was laying in bed, and it was, I don't even remember if it was during the day or late at night, but I just remember laying in bed and saying this, God, I know better. I know better, sir. God, forgive me. Well, do you realize right when I did that, every sin that I had done, even if it was that day, God washed it and remembers it no longer as far as the east is to the west? Hallelujah. Well, so what happens though is God forgets it, all the things that I did bad in college, but my friends didn't. They still remembered it. Matter of fact, they brought it to me a few times. Do you remember when you did that? You know, and then you got to say, yeah, but that's the old man, and they don't understand that, of course. That was the old me. And because the devil wants to constantly keep you held down. But what is God saying this morning? You've got dominion. You're anointed, praise God, being a child of God. You just got to get out of your mind all the bad things that you've done, all the things that doesn't please the Lord that might be in your life, and understand who you really are in Christ Jesus. And all that is preaching the Word. All that is understanding, because of the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, that lives on the inside of you, how you have dominion, praise God, operating in your life. Because operating in the anointing is what gives you the ability to take dominion over every area of your life. If you're hung on drugs or alcohol, if you take dominion over that spirit, because that's what it is, y'all. That's why I'm so against stuff like that. I don't care if you do it moderately or whatever. That's your own business. But I can tell you where it leads if it's done in excess. And it never leads to anything good, ever. Why? Because there's a spirit behind it. It's a work of the flesh. So please don't get upset and get offended and leave the church. Because I want you to get away from that particular spirit that I have seen out there in the field ruining a lot of marriages and doing very bad things, putting people in jail like you've never seen. And I've just decided I'm not afraid to make someone upset at me. I would rather be afraid of making my God upset. So just take it, let it go over your head, don't get offended, but receive what I'm saying. There's a spirit behind being addicted to those kind of things. And I'm not saying because you do it, you're addicted. You're not. But it can lead to that in a lot of people's lives. So if someone in here thinks they're hiding an addiction to something from God, you're not. But God wants you to be set free. You've got to take dominion, though, over that particular spirit. It might be a lying spirit. It might be an anger spirit. I'm telling you, if you don't take dominion over it, it'll control your life. You might get better for a season, and then all of a sudden it comes back and gets very hard to overcome it. That's why we're preaching these messages, y'all, so that we can get free and understand that because of the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, we've got dominion over that spirit of drugs. We've got dominion over that spirit of anger. We've got dominion over any kind of devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy our life. You know, there's a lot of people that's hung up on, you know, the OxyContin and all the drugs, the opioids. I mean, there's a lot of people that because of an injury, especially in sports, gets hung up on and addicted to those kind of things. If you've got and understand who you are in Christ, ooh, Jesus, you've got dominion over that spirit. Okay. Man, this is good stuff. Because don't think for one minute I don't have to deal with the spirits that are trying to attack me in some area. I'll just go ahead and confess it. Might as well. This way you'll know that I'm human. Okay? Driving down the road, minding my own business. I have not told my wife. And I get up to a stop sign, pulling a trailer, smaller trailer. And I looked to my left, I looked to my right, and didn't see a little old short car. One of those short cars, you know? And it was blinded by my mirror on my awesome, powerful, manly truck. Okay? So, it was clear, as far as I could see it. And I started out, and when I started out, I saw a car to my left. And I stopped, backed up, and this car and came beside me. Now, he overreacted. Okay? And so I rolled down my window and I said, "I am so sorry, sir. I could not see you." And he started speaking and he shouldn't have. Because he said, "You should be sorry." I don't feel like I was in preacher mode right at this moment. Because I said, "It was just a dadgum mistake." "Yeah, but you could have killed two people." I said, "Yeah, but I didn't." And I should have said, "And if you were saved, it wouldn't have mattered." Anyway, it was wrong. And I'm confessing it to you, okay? And I did not cuss. But I said a couple more things as he was driving off. Like, well, I won't say. And then, you know what happens is, "I apologize, sir. Forgive me. I was going to put tires on the trailer, you know. Get a couple of gates, you know, just to do my..." Well, see, so I have to deal with the same thing. I didn't have to. I could have just said, I so apologize. And then no matter what he said, I could have just rolled the window up. Oh, no. Not a cowboy. But it wasn't right. And I had to confess it, right? And thank God no one died. Say amen to that. You know, the anointing is what gave Samson the supernatural strength to overcome his enemies. The anointing. Dominion, y'all. It was the anointing and dominion that David had that caused him to kill Goliath, who could have destroyed everybody. You see, there's a lot of things going on in one's life that you need to have the anointing and dominion in your mind, you see. A couple of things that I wrote down, besides dominion, that means operating under the anointing. You know what else dominion means as I start to close? It means excelling to the highest place possible. In other words, we don't settle with just barely getting by. I think that's why God has me teach on finances, because there's a lot of people that just get comfortable with barely getting by. And that is not God's best in your life. No, God wants you to have more than enough. That's why Luke 6 and 38 says, "When you give, it shall be given unto you with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto you. God wants you to have an abundance, but He doesn't want money to have you. He wants you to be able to bless someone that needs some help. And sometimes we get into those situations where we need some help. So dominion means excelling to the highest place possible. Deuteronomy 28, and you back it up to 13, or you go down to 13, that's when the Bible says that the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. In other words, above. Above. And not, you know, down. Excuse me. I mean, we're constantly being put down. We're always being put down, seems like, if you watch the news, being a Christian. I was amazed that I was reading some stuff, and it was talking about the persecution of Christians. And it was crazy, because on this one panel that I was watching, they were defending Islam over Christianity. I mean, just backwards. Because Christianity is operated through faith by love, right? I mean, we're not going to try to scare you in. I know the fire and brimstone messages might have scared some people in, not wanting to go to hell. But you don't hardly see that. I mean, that's just the truth. You don't want to go to hell. Would y'all agree with that? It's a bad place. I mean, heaven's better. But we're just setting before you the Word of God. It's up to you to take it. Where in that religion, I mean, it's way different. Because the women cannot, I mean, if it's the radical side, they got to be covered up. Oh, wouldn't that be interesting? If all y'all were covered with your faces covered. No. Praise God for makeup. I mean, I love. That kind of went down a different, like all the men are like, you probably. But think about it. Oh man, they can't even be out. They can't preach the word to somebody unless it's inside their home. Why would they be defending that over Christianity? Who preaches through love? Who preaches truth that is good for you? You see what's happening in our world, though? That's why it's important to have dominion. Oh, Jesus. So, when Deuteronomy's trying to tell us not to be the head, not the tail, to be above and not down underneath, even physically, that means that you don't have to settle with aches and pains. Why? You've got dominion. You don't have to settle with allergies. You don't have to settle with sickness or disease. Because the Word of God says that stuff shouldn't come near you, right? Well, it's going to come near you until we take authority over it. Or if the symptoms come, why wouldn't you be fast to say, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying to everybody where you look crazy. Well, why not say it to yourself, though, when you know that symptom of something is coming on you? That's why we were all saved from that disease called COVID, y'all. Because we started preaching against the spirit of fear. That God didn't give us that spirit. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now you're seeing what the evidence of all of us not taking the vaccine. You're seeing all of us being overcomers, praise God. And there was a bunch of us. I'm not saying taking it was bad for you. I told you, if you have peace, taking it. But a lot of bad things happened with people that took the stuff, especially if it was done in fear. Now they're coming out with all kinds of bad reports because of the vaccine. And the people that are vaccinated four times with boosters are still getting the whatever it is, COVID. Okay. I wasn't supposed to go there either. Listen, dominion means excelling to the highest place possible. that you don't physically have to be under any of these things like disease. No, you're strong. You have a healthy body. Let me do the last one real fast. I think I can do it in 2 minutes. Dominion also means to be blessed in famine. Because see, that's what happened. That old spirit come on, COVID, shut our country down, and we're still having to deal with all that junk, right? We're seeing it, but God's people, where God's your provider. I've had the greatest financial times in the last 2 years in ministry than any other time in ministry. Well, wait a minute. Aren't we going through a recession? I mean, that's what the experts say. I mean, we're going in this recession. Our economy is in a bad, bad place. Well, not if you listen to the one man at the top. He says everything's wonderful. Well, if it's wonderful, then you don't need to forgive anybody's student loan. Anyway, gosh, I'll tell you. And I approve this message, by the way. If the FBI is watching, I'm sure they are. Listen, in Genesis 26 and 12, Isaac planted crops during a famine and reaped 100-fold. Glory be to God, because he had dominion. He knew who he was in Christ Jesus because the Lord blessed him. Dominion means that you expect to be blessed even in the bad times, even during COVID, even during the troubled times in one's life. If you understand that you are anointed, you have dominion over those things, you are someone in Christ Jesus, you're not a little lonely worm that's not worthy of anything. No, no, no. You are a child of God. You have been given the anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointed one that lives on the inside of you. He says to imitate him, and he was an overcomer, y'all. If he was an overcomer, then we can all be overcomers because we have dominion over everything and it's all under our feet unless we allow it to get above us, but not us. Not us. No, no, no. We are anointed to be the overcomers because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So you keep giving your testimony to people. You keep heralding and preaching the word of God with the understanding that you, my friend, you, my sister, you are anointed to keep preaching and doing what God's called you to do. And don't be afraid of it. Now, when I say you and you, I mean all of us, because we all have been given the anointing to have dominion, and everything we do is under our feet. So if you're sick today, then get up, start speaking and heralding and preaching the word. I'm healed. I know it's a weird thing to call things that be not as though they were. When you don't feel healthy, but you call yourself healthy, it almost makes you feel like you're lying. No, 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 no. You're speaking the word. And if you'll do that long enough, you'll start believing God's word. Amen? Amen. Do you receive this message? Yes. Father, thank you. Thank you that today there's a church where the ministers of the church, the ones that do Bible study, the ones that teach our youth and our children, and the ones that sit in these chairs and usher and do whatever they do, we preach the word. And I know we live under grace and mercy when we blow it, but our intention, sir, is not to blow it. It's just to preach the word. And yeah, we're learning, we're getting better. We're trying to learn more scriptures than just John 3 and 16. But Father, thank you that there's a church where the preachers actually preach the word and not our own opinions. No, what does the Bible say? Because it stood the test of time, sir. It's a book full of truths. And if you live by it, it always works and manifests and comes to pass in our lives. So thank you for the Word. Thank you, Lord, for the Word. We receive it now. God, faith, rise up in the people where they can be the overcomers. Whatever it is that they're going through, sir, and you know what they're going through, I thank you, Lord, that today's message, they'll receive it by faith, out of love, so that they can overcome the areas that they're being attacked in, that they're needing that power to overcome. So thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time to do that right now. If you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, oh man, God loves you. Man, He loves you. All you got to do is surrender and say it's not about you, it's about Him. And let Him begin to change your life. And He will. If you're here this morning or listening to me, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all of us in this place, and hopefully y'all that are watching, will pray this prayer. If you're watching and you're saved and you're by yourself, pray the prayer anyway, so that you learn how to lead people to Jesus. Because if you'll learn the spirit of this prayer, you'll be able to lead someone to Jesus when they come in your business, or when they're around the stalls at a rodeo, or they're just somewhere with you and you need to lead them to Jesus because they need hope. If you'll learn this prayer, then you'll be able to lead them to Jesus. All of us in here, we're going to pray a prayer, but if there's one person at the sound of my voice that has never given their lives to Jesus, in other words, you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to stand before the Creator, God. Jesus, His Son, is going to be beside the Father with this book called the Book of Life. I pray that your name is recorded in that book, because the only way for your name to be in the book is if you've given your life to the Son of God named Jesus. That's John 3:16 that we talked about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him, the Son, would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's two places one goes, y'all, when you leave this earth, either heaven or hell. I obviously don't want you to go to hell. I don't care what you've done to me. I don't care how mean you are to me. If you backstab me, you don't like me, I still don't want you to go to heaven because of the love of Jesus that lives on the inside of me. I want you to not go to hell, but heaven. But I can't make you go to heaven. So we're going to do is we're going to pray Romans 10 and 9. We're going to confess Jesus as Lord with our mouth. That means out loud. And we're going to believe that God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says we'll be saved. So we're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives, into our heart, and save us. Be our Lord. If you do that and you stand before God, your name's going to be in that book. And God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven. I don't want Him to say the other, which is depart from me to a place called hell. Please don't choose that. I want you to choose heaven. So pray this prayer, and all of us are going to pray it. If you're in here and you just don't know where you would go if you died, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. And I want you to do it out loud. You ready? All of us, we're going to pray it with you. Say it like this, out loud. Say, Father in heaven, thank you, Jesus, that I open the door of my heart. And I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord, to come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. You are now my Lord. You're now my Savior. You're now my friend. and I need you in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen and you raise your head and open your eyes, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, you prayed it and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and say, "That was me, God." And then just put your hand down. The reason I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand is because the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, "I'll confess you before my Father." Don't you be afraid, y'all. Don't you be afraid. Jesus was not afraid. He was bold where He gave His life for us. He died. It was a terrible death too. So all I'm asking you to do is be bold enough, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, to get that hand up when I say three and then just put it right back down. You ready? With boldness. If you just gave your life to Jesus, get your hand up. Let me see it and then just put it back down. One, two, three, go. Okay, look at me. There wasn't a single hand. And I'm okay with that. Praise God, we need a dominion. But we still have to have a heart. And that's why I go out there in the field and gone. We have to have a heart to see people give their lives to Jesus. So either get them saved out there or bring them in here. Amen? Did y'all have a good time?